All right, great to have you back with us. I love the show this morning. A lot cooking on Twitter, and it's good. Baseball fans are into it, and I knew this was going to happen once they got back to the story of baseball every day. Bill Lasky joins us. Bill, a lot going on today. Trevor Story at the Red Sox, we kicked it around. Bruce and I did. Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, good morning, Marty, and good morning to the Giants fan base. And you're absolutely right. I think the Giants fan base are a little upset. I think they really wanted to see Trevor Story in a Giants uniform. And, of course, we wake up today and he signs a long-term deal with the Boston Red Sox. And, you know, this is what Farhan and Scott Harris are kind of pulling away for him. We have not seen a long-term contract but 3 years. And I think the flexibility on the payroll and what he sees down the road, as you said, Marty, earlier, is the youth, what he's going to do with some of these kids as they get older. And I think he just doesn't want to do that and block that for them. And we see Ramos in the lineup today, DH-ing. You talked about Luciano. Here's a guy in a couple of years that could be replacing Crawford at shortstop. And I know he was interested in Trevor Story. The Giants were definitely a part of it, but I don't think that long-term commitment was something they wanted to do.
I agree with you. It's Carey Crowley, and Story's only been a shortstop. And, of course, with the Red Sox, as Bruce pointed out, it's nice to play in Fenway, but Bogaerts is going to be gone from Boston next year, and they're going to hand it over to Trevor Story, so I get that. So, Carey, good morning. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Marty, and I think Bill brings up several good points. But to me, at some point, Farhan Zaidi, Scott Harris, Gabe Kapler, they're going to have to get comfortable with taking a long-term risk. And we know the Giants right now in this current front office, the current iteration of the roster, they're taking some calculated risks. Carlos Rodon, with his injury history, he's a risk. Alex Cobb, Alex Wood, Anthony DeSclafani, they are all risky, but the Giants can get out and, you know, help themselves in 1 to 2 years after all of those players, depending on how they perform. I think at some point fans would like to be energized by a big ticket free agent like a Trevor Story, like a Chris Bryant, like a Nick Castellanos, and the Giants just haven't been willing to go 5 or 6 years on some guys. And maybe they're really confident that the players coming through the farm system, an Elia Ramos or a Marco Luciano, will be worth paying that money to one day. But to me, it just strikes me as a missed opportunity, because if they're not going to go big this offseason when they have all of this payroll flexibility, when will they go big? And I think that's a valid question for fans right now.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing I see, and I tweeted this out this morning, it kind of got things going. There's a question at every position. And, you know, the old Charlie Dressen quote, you know, when Willie Mays made this great play and threw Billy Cox out at the plate and saved the 51 season for the New York Giants, he said, that was all right, but let me see him do it again. You know, that's what he said. So with the Giants, they're almost in that position. You know, Belt's got to do it again. Crawford's got to do it again. Flores, you could go up and down the whole 25-man roster and, of course, the 13 position players and say, hey, you got to do it again. And, Bill, I think that's the biggest question for this ball club. Can those guys do it again? Because Story wasn't going to turn the tables on this offense.
Yeah, I agree with you, Marty. And, you know, you're talking about Longoria, who was injured most of the year last year, Crawford, and you also had Belt injury. These guys are going to have to really come through again this year. And you also had Yastrzemski, who really had a down year last year. He seems like he's got a little more energy coming into this year. And, of course, they talked about him getting it hit in the hand the last game against the A's, and it kind of just made him shy at the plate a little bit on that inside pitch. And it really showed some of the numbers he produced. So some of these guys have to turn it around. They didn't have career years last year. Some of them did. And, again, a lot of pressure on Joey Bart and Kirk Cassilli behind the plate, and they're filling in Buster Posey's shoes, and that's a huge, huge at-bats in the middle of the order and the power numbers. So, you know what? We're going to see what happens. But the other thing that we don't discuss enough is trades. There could be some possible trades. There's some rosters that have a ton of names that could be exposed here, Carey, at the end of spring.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned yesterday Jose Ramirez, Bill, and to me he's the perfect fit for the Giants because he can play third base, he can play second base. There's a number of different positions you can put him at, and I do think that Farhan proved last year at the trade deadline in his willingness to go out and get Chris Bryant that he's willing to make that move if the team proves that it's deserving of that move. But to me right now, Marty, it feels like an 87-90 win team at best, whereas sure, we were all wrong last season. No one could have predicted 107 wins. But the loss of Buster Posey isn't something that they've accounted for enough, in my opinion. I still think this pitching staff outperformed expectations beyond what's reasonable to be expected this season. So it feels like it's a playoff team, but not a World Series team. And after you win 107 and you come up short, you want to be gunning for the World Series. You want to push in all the chips. And so I am of the belief that the expanded playoffs, the Giants will get in on an annual basis. Farhan, Scott, and Gabe, they're all smart enough to maneuver the Giants in. It's can you win when you get in? And that's what I'm still waiting to see from this group, from this front office.
Well, you know, the National League East is a little bit more of a problem this year. You know, the Phillies, right, Bill?
Yeah.
Schwarber, Castellanos is there. They've got Corey Knebel. You know, they got a bullpen. They got Familia. You got Washington is always going to be some trouble with Soto when he gets healthy. And look at the Mets. You know, look at the amazing Mets. You know, you got that to deal with. And then you get to the, you know, there's a few teams right there. And then we... How about the Braves? They won the World Series. So is 87 going to be enough to get you in? And plus, they've got to beat Arizona 17 times again, and they've got to beat Colorado 15 times again. You know, it's not that simple. So my question is, and I love the Ramirez thing, Kerry. I love that, and I'll throw this to Kerry first. But, you know, you bring in somebody who's going. And this is what happened in 2016, 2014, Bill Wright, in 2015. You know, they got stuck with players because they won a World Series. And, they, you know, Pablo left, but Huff was here and Freddie Sanchez and people like that. So you, who are you going to get rid of if you make a trade? And I'll let Kerry start that.
Well, I think you look up and down this 40-man roster, and there's plenty of ways they can make a maneuver to get guys off the roster. You know, maybe you.
But who are you
going to
play? Who are you taking out of the lineup?
To the bench, you push Wilmer Flores to the bench. You push Evan Longoria into a part-time role. There are ways to maneuver this right now. Where if you bring in a Jose Ramirez, you can lessen the at bats that all of these other players are taking. You know, maybe Austin Slater takes 100 to 150 at bats instead of 300 to 350. Maybe Jock Peterson's taking 200 instead of 400. I just think that there's ways that you can lessen the load for some of these players. Right now, Marty, this is a team that's going to count on Darren Ruff to take 300 at bats. And look, okay, I'm a big believer in Darren Ruff. I think that he's a great player, but I think that, you know, if you're using him in shorter spurts, if you're using him against left-handed pitchers, Bill, then you're going to be set up for success. I don't think that you should worry about the guys that you've already installed. If you can bring in a huge talent, a marquee player, like some of these teams have done over the past few days, past few weeks, since the CBA has been agreed to.
You're absolutely right, Kerry. And one position I worry about is second base with Listella. Yeah. I mean, Listella is injured. He's not 100% yet. We really haven't seen the player we saw with the Angels and a little bit with the A's. And second base is a big hole for me when I look up and down this lineup. And, you know, you put Flores at second base. It's kind of a defensive negative there. But there are some, you know, Estrada. But there isn't that popular name. It isn't that marquee name in that lineup. And I think that's one of the holes that I see in this lineup. And all three of us have talked about no production without Posey and Bryan, and they really haven't come up with that right-hand power hitter yet, and something they have to come through with. And, you know, I keep throwing Ramos's name in there. Is this the guy that they're going to give an opportunity to, Marty? And is he ready? That's going to be the question.
Well, he's never shown it yet, and even in spring training. You know, he hasn't had the, you know, the Eli Marrero. Is that the guy? Remember Marrero?
I forget. Eli Marrero. That's a great memory, Marty.
Was that the guy? You know, he hit a million home runs, nine in spring training, and he was gone after the first week. Or Randy Elliott. You remember him, Bill.
Sure.
From the late 70s. So we haven't seen that yet out of Ramos. So I don't know if he's ready. I really don't. They talk about Matos being sort of the next big star. So I don't know. But, Kerry, I understand the point. But what you said was, yes, Longoria becomes a part-time player. So they'd have to make some decisions like that. But let's talk defense because, Bill, you love defense, and I do too, and Kerry, you. They're going to lose defensively behind the plate with Bart. There's no question in my mind about that. The ball's clanking off his glove already. And then at second base, you definitely have trouble unless Estrada and Dubon play, and I don't think that's going to happen that often. defensively, I think the team's going to be challenged a little bit in the infield because Belt, Crawford, and Longoria are a year older.
Yeah, no, I think that that's very true, and we will start to see that. I still look at the season that Brandon Crawford had last year. I mean, such a supreme talent, the shortstop position. He was outstanding. Brandon Belt, I don't worry about at first base. Evan Longoria's got a strong enough arm. Maybe his range isn't where it once was, but I don't worry as much about that. I worry tremendously about second base and how the San Francisco Giants cover that. Marty, I worry about the outfield. Okay. I still don't see. I mean, Steven Duggar had the nice play in center field yesterday, but I still don't see an everyday center fielder you can go out and trust. And in the corners, they're a little shaky at times. I know that Mike Yastrzemski made big leaps forward defensively last year from where he was in 2020, but there are still question marks to me when you're platooning as much as the Giants are about guys getting comfortable playing in a rhythm, and we did see that last year where sometimes they would have trouble calling each other off, and I do think that that's one of the byproducts of this approach, of this lineup. The Giants were able to out-hit their outfield deficiencies last year, but to me, Bill, it's still a concern. You mentioned second base. That is the big hole, both offensively and defensively.
It is, and you know, I want to throw a question to both of you guys. Do you think the platooning part that the Giants do, do you think some of the players, the marquee players, kind of pull away from that? Do you think Trevor Story was a guy that kind of pulled away because he wants to play regularly? These are things that I know everyday players want to do. They want to play a lot, and with the Giants, how they platoon so much, I just wonder if that's one of the things that they kind of pull away from. Do you guys agree or disagree?
Well, I'll take it first. I agree with you, and I think it probably affected Schwarber to some degree, you know, coming here. You know, where was he going to play? Did he have a position? Is he going to platoon? Story, yeah, I guess. You pay him $140 million. I don't think he's going to platoon too much. I think, you know, he'd be your guy. But, yeah, I think that's an issue for players coming here as to how they're going to be used. I think absolutely for the free agents. Now, if you trade for somebody, they got nothing to say. But if you have to get a free agent, yeah, I think so. Well, I want to go back to Ramos for a second, and Kerry then can answer your question, Bill. You know, I like to see a guy hit about 480 down here. You know what I mean? You know, just murder the ball. You know, they're throwing fastballs. Just get up and let me see you hit 520. And you know, let me get excited about you. Like I mentioned the names before. I haven't seen that from Ramos yet. I just want to throw that in. But, Kerry, go ahead on the platoon.
Yeah, no, Marty, you're right. Elliot Ramos has not hit 500 yet. And so we need to see that. We need to see him hit 400 in the PCL. You're absolutely right about that. But I think Bill brings up a great point and something that that's why I say, if they're not going to spend now, if they're not going to go out and get that big ticket free agent now, I do think that, you know, this platoon approach, it will impact their ability to approach players in free agency and to convince them to sign with the San Francisco Giants. Because, look, you can say, here's $150 million from the Giants, here's $150 million from the Mets. 7 years from now, you're still going to be the starting shortstop for the Mets. 7 years from now, you'd be a part-time second baseman for the Giants with the way that they approach things. And so I do think that it has some sort of payoff, Marty, and I do think that at some point they're going to have to go out and say, hey, look, we're making this guy our big-ticket free agent. We're going to market him to the fans. We're going to build the next core of Marco Luciano, Elliot Ramos, Luis Matos, Joey Bart. We're going to build those guys together around this free agent. They have to make a decision at some point on a position player like that.
Yeah, I think they will. I think next year, first, third, and short. I think next year is the year where they're going to do that. And let's see how the development of this year's outfield goes. They may say, hey, you know, Ramos hit 240 in the Pacific Coast League, and the rest of these guys regressed a little bit or they stayed the same. It's time to do it. Next year for me, I think that's when it's going to happen. All right. Hey, good discussion, huh? We got it cooking on a Sunday morning, didn't we?
It's always good.
This is the best.
Yeah, very good. All right, we're going to take a break. Bill, who do you have coming up next?
I got the great Paul White coming up.
Oh, and, good.
We're
very
gonna,
good.
Yeah, great discussion point. So Paul's fantastic. He's been on the show many times, and I can't wait to get his thoughts on some of the things I'm going to throw at him.
Oh, very good. All right, Kerry, have a good day, and we'll talk to you next week, right?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, very good. All right, more coming up, KNBR 680, 104.5. Paul White and Bill next, right here on the Sports Leader.